You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Is it too late in the process, though, to change that?
Nothing's too late, bro. Everything's made up in politics.
The Wire.
Australia recently passed new legislation regarding the sale of e-cigarettes, only allowing those over the age of 18 to purchase them from pharmacies and requiring those under the age of 18 to have a prescription to buy them. Discussing the new legislation with The Wire, Bob Hancocks, medical director of the Asthma and Respiratory Foundation, said that the government of New Zealand should look into implementing similar policies here and do more overall to combat the youth vaping epidemic in Aotearoa. To start off, tell us about Australia's new vaping law.
Well, I understand it came into effect yesterday or today, and it's quite stringent restrictions on who can sell and who can buy any vaping products. And in a nutshell, it means that they can only be sold in pharmacies. Children under the people under the age of 18, they can only get it with a prescription. And there are some quite stringent limits on what the flavours can be. I think they're only allowing three flavours, which is tobacco, menthol and mint. So they won't have the whole range of different flavours that have been available up to now.
Why is it important that vapes are specifically only sold from pharmacies? And how could this reduce nicotine consumption amongst young people?
Well, what's happened is that we've seen vapes, or some people have seen vapes as the answer to the smoking problem, that we have an epidemic of people addicted to smoking, and that obviously they're addicted to the nicotine in the tobacco, and that having an alternative way of inhaling nicotine will help people to stop smoking. And to a small extent, that's true, that there is some evidence to suggest that using vapes may be helpful in people breaking their cigarette addiction, or at least reducing the number of cigarettes they use. But the problem with that is that we've made them widely available to young people. And even though there are some restrictions on young people buying them now, the evidence is that young people find them very easy to get hold of. And we now have a generation of kids at school who are addicted to nicotine, some of them very heavily addicted. And if you talk to teachers and head teachers, there's been a number of media stories recently about the problem that they have with young people being addicted to nicotine or addicted to vaping in their schools, meaning that they're having difficulty with their schoolwork and having to take breaks to sneak off to try and vape somewhere because they are so addicted. And the reality is that a lot of the vapes have a very high concentrations of nicotine in them, and nicotine is an extremely addictive substance.
Similarly, why would there be a need to offer prescriptions to those under 18 to buy vapes?
Well, that's a good question. You would like to think that not many people under age of 18 would be using vapes at all, but I guess you'd need, obviously, to address this to Australia. I guess there are some kids who have become addicted to tobacco, and there are some kids who have become addicted to vaping, and maybe allowing them on under prescription would allow a managed way of trying to wean them off their addiction.
So how serious is the youth vaping epidemic here in Aotearoa?
Well, I think it's quite serious. The survey suggested about 15% of young people, sort of 15 in the 15 to 17 age group, are vaping regularly. That's a lot. The data may underestimate just how much vape is being done. And of those 15% or so of 15 to 17-year-olds, quite a lot of them will be addicted to nicotine. And yet we don't really know what the long-term effects are going to be of being addicted to nicotine and vaping. There's increasing evidence that it does have effects on the airways and the lungs. But we really don't know, because vaping is so new, we don't really know what the long-term consequences will be. What we can be sure is that it's not going to be beneficial, it's going to be harmful. We just don't know how bad that harm is going to be.
Whether it's this government or the previous one, has New Zealand been effective at tackling or managing the youth vaping problem in recent years?
I don't think so. I think we are seeing a rise in youth vaping. I mean, vaping's only been around a relatively short time, and the vapes have become more and more sophisticated in terms of the flavours and the content and their effectiveness of delivering nicotine. I haven't yet seen any evidence that the vaping numbers are going down. Perhaps there is some evidence out there, but I certainly haven't seen come across it. And so we have a problem, and we have a generation who are growing up becoming addicted to nicotine, and that's going to be very difficult for them to break that addiction when they decide they want to quit.
I think you mentioned earlier that we don't know what the long-term health impacts of the youth vaping epidemic will be at the moment, but Do we have an estimate or like an idea of what that might look like in the future?
I think the short answer to that is no, we don't. I mean, it's just been around for too short a time to really know. I mean, put it in context, we had tobacco for 400 years before we actually realized that it caused lung cancer, heart disease, and chronic lung disease. So vaping has been around for a decade or so, and there's been a substantial change in the vaping environment over that time. It's just all too new to know what the long-term effects are going to be. We know there are a number of studies out there showing that it has acute effects on the airways. It damages the airway linings. It causes changes in the immune cells in the airways. I don't know, and I don't think anybody really knows how that's going to pan out in the long term. I'm certainly hoping we won't have to wait another 400 years to find out that vaping has all these effects, because we'll be much more alert to it, but it's just too early to tell.
So if we don't necessarily know what the long-term health impacts are, why is there an urgent need to introduce legislation to mitigate vape consumption?
Well, we know that people are becoming addicted to nicotine unnecessarily. It was never necessary for children to start becoming addicted to nicotine. But young people are young people. They're going to try interesting things. And you know, the part of growing up is to experiment with all sorts of things. And so we now have a generation who's steadily becoming addicted to nicotine, which we know is not going to be good. We can argue about how bad it might be, but we certainly know that it's not going to be good.
So finally, what's your call to the New Zealand government?
Well, I think they should take a very serious look at the Australian regulations and think about what we can and should implement here. There are some regulations in New Zealand about around vaping, but they're fairly timid compared to what the Australians have done. I think we should seriously consider taking a leaf out of their book.
And that was Bob Hancocks from the Asthma and Respiratory Foundation talking to us about Australia's new vaping legislation and the youth vaping epidemic in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.